Good morning. Hey. Hi. It's good to be in God's house this morning, amen? Are you feeling Christmassy yet? I haven't been called a Grinch once this week. Not once. That's a good sign for me. Even yesterday with the snow falling down, I'm not going to lie, it looked kind of pretty. I was glad that it stopped before today because I didn't want it to stop people from coming to church this morning, but I was happy to get a little bit of snow. And, yeah, I even shoveled a little bit yesterday and didn't even care. I'm still happy about it. But it's good to be in God's house. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited about the Christmas season. I do have my ugly Christmas sweater. I'm all ready. And so I'm hoping to see yours. I heard that somebody are making their own, which I'm not that crafty. So I'm probably not going to make my own. But if you come, you make your own, fine. I'd say we should have a prize that night. Where's Pastor Carrie? We should have a prize that night for the ugliest sweater. 100%. Like, man, I should just get a sweater and put a picture of my own face on the front, and then I'd win for sure. It's all good. It's all good. We're going to look in the Word of God this morning, and my sermon, as you can see behind me, is entitled Attention. And I thought it would be pretty apropos going into the Christmas season to talk about the things that take our attention. Now, it has been said that what we pay attention to, we become. Now, I don't know how scary that statement is for you, but for some of us this morning, that could be quite the wake-up call. What we pay attention to, we become. There is a war for our attention. Sigmund Freud talked about the irrational decisions we make based on our unconscious drives, which John Mark Comer accurately equates to what Scripture describes as our flesh. We're going to be talking, I'll be referencing John Mark quite a bit this morning, so he's throwing me a little assist from his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I recommend you read it. It's an amazing book. We see this in action through all kinds of propaganda, which appeals to these innate desires in an attempt to manipulate our decision-making process. That's a big old statement, isn't it? But we have all kinds of things. We are bombarded, particularly this kind of time of the season, reminding us that, you know what, you need what I have. You really want what I have. TikTok has become the most popular source of what's known as short-form video, which is video that is basically just 1 minute or less. But literally every social media platform has embraced it because of the shrinking size of society's collective attention span. Have I still got yours? Good, good. According to, again, John Mark Comer, he says, our attention span is dropping with each passing year. In 2000, he said, before the digital revolution of 2007. Anybody know what happened in 2007? The onset of what? The iPhone. As we know it, the smartphone as we know it, which entered the digital revolution. He says, our attention span is dropping with each passing year. It says 2000, before the digital revolution, it was 12 seconds. But since then, it dropped to 8 seconds. Can you imagine only having 8 seconds to get somebody's attention? To put that into perspective, a goldfish has the attention span of 9 seconds. So a goldfish technically has a... So basically, if you go into the store and look at a goldfish, the goldfish will stare at you through that glass for 9 seconds, where after the 8 second, you'll probably... The goldfish could beat you in a staring contest. Gloria Mark, PhD, is Chandler's Professor of Informatics at the University of California, Irvine. She received her PhD from Columbia University in psychology and studies the impact of digital media on people's lives. In her book, Attention Span, she notes that the average shot in a movie before they switch angles or frames is now less than 5 seconds. I put this to the test just yesterday. I was watching a movie called That Christmas, a new animated movie with my kids, and we were sitting down, and I drove my family nuts as I tried to count every second it switched frames. I was like, one, two, one, two, three, one, two. And I'm telling you, maybe 3 times in the span of a minute, that's all my family would tolerate me doing that. In like 3 times, it got over 5 seconds. It was pretty remarkable. She also mentions in her interview, Speaking of Psychology, a podcast provided by the American Psychological Association, that back in 2004, we found the average attention span of any screen to be 2.5 minutes on average. So when you sit down at your desk to go to work, the average amount of time you would spend in 2004 would be 2.5 before something would grab your attention. Throughout the years, it became shorter. So around 2012, we found it to be 75 seconds. I mean, let's be honest, for me to keep your attention up here, I'm going to have to do something spectacular every 60 seconds. So I figure, you know, every 60 seconds, I'm just going to freak out or something, or do something crazy and get your attention. But thank God you don't have to put up with that. A survey from Microsoft found that 77% of young adults answered yes when asked, when nothing is occupying my attention, the first thing I do is reach for my phone. So if I see you reaching for your phone, I will assume you're engaged, but just fact-checking me on Google, right? Or if you feel unengaged, cue another freakout. And I'll have to, no, I'm just kidding, I won't do any of that, but that could be kind of entertaining, though, I might say. I could talk for hours, citing sources after source about how our attention spans have exponentially decreased over the years, how society does not embrace solitude, quiet. It certainly does not embrace slowness in general, or especially Sabbath. I inherited the nickname from my parents and from my brothers when I was a kid, when we were building our cabin in a place near Springdale called Halls Bay. And we all got nicknames. My younger brother's nickname was Minute Rice because he was too young and he didn't stick around long enough to do any work. So he took off every 5 minutes. So that's how long back in the day you took to make Minute Rice was 5 minutes. I don't know if you remember that commercial, if you're old enough. So he was Minute Rice. Walt was the foreman, my older brother. He was foreman because he bossed everybody around. And I was Pokey Pete because I took my time doing what I did it. And I used to always say, yeah, I'm the only one who does it right, though, right? But they would give me the nickname Pokey Pete. And even now, my wife and her legs that are shorter than mine will rock faster and get quite annoyed with me in the mall as I try to keep up with her. studies have long supported the idea that adequate rest and shorter work weeks, 50 hours or less, lead to much higher levels of productivity than excessive hours like 60, 70 hours and more. We want things yesterday. Our attention spans are such that we want things yesterday. I mean, YouTube makes doing just about anything easier with their videos now. You can get an instructional video on anything. And I find myself sometimes going to the instructional video because I don't want to sit down and read the manual. And then I find myself speeding through the 3-minute instructional video because I'm too impatient to get through that video. It's pretty crazy. Never mind the fact that if we had to physically read the manual, it would drastically expand the amount of time we would have to spend on the project. We like to look at how we do church with a critical eye, because so much has changed over the years in some ways to meet the demand of the get-to-the-point mentality that exists in society today. But where the shortened attention spans hit the church hardest is not in the corporate gatherings, it is in the disciplines. If the church came to understand that the greatest threat to faith today is not hedonism but distraction, perhaps they might begin to appeal anew to the frazzled digital generation. Those are the words of Andrew Sullivan in his book, I Used to Be a Human. Well, I'm not naive enough to think that I am going to solve all the issues with society's shrinking attention span today, but I do believe that Scripture gives us some great guidance, and we're going to look into Scripture this morning. And I want to make basically three statements and consult some scriptures this morning that can give us some guidance when it comes to our attention spans. The first thing I want to say is don't just watch the video, pay attention to the steps. Don't just watch the video, pay attention to the steps. John chapter 14, verse 6, the very familiar passage, many of you have heard it, could recite it since Sunday school if you grew up in there. It says, Jesus answered, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I have heard it said that there is a crisis of discipleship in the church today. However, in my experience, when people talk about this, they are often referring to the teaching. The truth element of the John 14, verse 6, which, to be clear, is, of course, super important. We need to teach people about the Word of God. We need to teach people the Word of God. We need to teach them what it says. I mean, that's the whole reason I'm here. It's a large portion of the reason that I have a job today. Our problem has not necessarily been with the truth, but rather when it comes to discipleship, we most struggle with the way portion of this passage of Jesus, because it makes us look at exactly how Jesus lived and exactly how Jesus went about his work. And John Mark Comer, in both of his books, Practicing the Way and The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, addresses this point quite clearly, drawing our attention back to Jesus, his truth, and his practices. We like to talk about what the Bible says that we should do and we shouldn't do. But when it comes down to, are we doing exactly what Jesus did? Are we doing the things that Jesus did? It becomes a little bit more difficult. I think the church as a whole communicates the truth to society well, but maybe, just maybe, in the 8 seconds we have to grab society's attention, they want to see the love of Christ first before their ears open to hear about it. Eugene Peterson once said, "But Jesus, the truth, gets far more attention than Jesus, the way." Sometimes we focus on the miracles of Jesus and we say, "He is the Son of God. We can't do what he did. How can we do those things?" Maybe we start by studying Jesus' everyday walk, not only his encounters. We read the miracles. I read a miracle this morning of how Jesus straightened up a man's back. And another one, how somebody had unnatural swelling and he healed that person on the Sabbath. I love to read these accounts and I love to believe that God can do these miracles. I'm also reading about Elisha, who has so many fantastic miracles. Fantastic miracles in his life. Everything from when Naaman was healed and other times when all the army of Aram came to his front door and he stood there and he wasn't afraid and his servant was panicking. He's like, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And he prayed and he prayed that God would open his servant's eyes. And then when he opened his servant's eyes, he saw the host of angels and the armies of God in chariots of fire all around the back of a ram. And he said, "This is why I'm not scared." Miracles. We love to see the miracles. We love to read about the miracles. We love to believe in the possibility of a miracle. But do we believe that we can really come up to someone and pray and say, "Jesus, come now and see the miracle in our midst, in our moments, in our everyday life, in our everyday walk?" We look at Jesus' life and we struggle to focus on the things like solitude, the fact that he regularly found quiet places, the fellowship, the fact that he spent specific time with specific people for specific reasons. And there's lots of different passages about fellowship. You know, we talk about Mary and Martha, and one was busy in the kitchen doing all the work, and the other one was out listening at Jesus' feet. And he was saying, "You know what, there's time to do all that, but right now, just sit and listen. Be with me." Solitude, fellowship, prayer, preparation. You know, I can't find a scripture that refers to Jesus ever being in a rush. It doesn't say that Jesus hurried off. It says that he walked right to the middle of a crowd. It says that he, you know, maybe, you know, if you want to really start picking at things, you could say, well, he did take a shortcut across the Sea of Galilee when he was walking across the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if he's trying to save time. Solitude and time with his father was ingrained into the gospel accounts. It was ingrained into everything he did. The first thing he did when he came, before he started his ministry, is he spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. And we look at that and we look at it and sometimes we think that that's the weakest time of his ministry, when in reality he was gaining strength through his time with the Lord. And we look at it as Satan coming at his weakest time, maybe weakest physically, but he was not weak spiritually because he'd been spent time, you know, communing with his father. He spent 40 days, he set it aside to be alone with his father. The devil came at the time when he was strongest. It is the difference of saying, "I will pray for you," versus, "Can I pray for you right now?" One's a little bit more difficult. You'd ask permission, but I believe, you know, the times that I've said, "Can I pray for you right now?" Because I'm, to be honest, sometimes I'm afraid that I'll walk away and I'll forget to pray for the person, and I don't want to do that. So if I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them, let's do it right now and believe for a miracle right now. And then the next time I ask them, I say, "Did you know what's going on with that? Did you see a miracle?" And they look at me like, "Do you really expect a miracle?" "Yes, I really expected a miracle." One of the encouraging and comforting, one is encouraging and comforting, but the other shows people the way of Jesus, the way you have chosen. We can show people the video, so to speak, and say, "This is what I believe," but we have brief moments to show them that we live by the steps in the video. If they see the steps active in our lives, the disciplines, the way of Jesus, then they might just keep watching the video for another 8 seconds with the hope of learning the next step. Second thing I want to talk about is the fact that we got to calibrate our focus. There's something that we have to do. You know, there's a large difference. We don't understand cameras nowadays. My father-in-law years ago gave me a manual camera that didn't have a digital focus. And I went out, man, and I took the worst pictures I have ever seen in my life because I did not know what I was doing. It took some time to learn how to digitally focus. We're so used to having everything done for us now. All the newest video, newest cameras, you know, have 30 times zoom, and they have autofocus, and you can change the f-stop. You can change all the different things if you really want to get into the details. But to be honest, you get any smartphone nowadays, and you can take a pretty stinking good picture right away. Boom. All because we want it now. Philippians 4:8 talks about calibrating our focus. Another very familiar passage. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." I don't know if you've ever sat down and just thought about what's excellent and praiseworthy in your life and just give God praise. He says, "Whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Follow the way. And the God of peace will be with you." So what do we focus on? If you join one of our home groups coming this winter, I'm hopefully we're going to have a few more home groups. We have one right now going, and I'm very excited about it. But if you join one, you'll have the opportunity to learn about the way of Jesus and the spiritual disciplines in greater detail. If our focus and attention spans as a society are short, the first and quickest way to adjust it is to at least give that attention to the right things. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about such things. It begins in the mind, but we are often slaves to thinking about what we let into the mind through the windows of the soul. Matthew 6 gives us great instruction here. In verse 22 and 23, it says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" The myth is that we cannot change our attention spans. People say, "Well, you have to change this, you have to do this, because, you know, the society's attention span is this. You know, we can't focus long as a goldfish anymore." And the myth is that we can't change our attention spans and that we can't do anything about it. It is hard, but it starts with small decisions. What do we let in front of our eyes? How long do we let it in front of our eyes? Are we in control of the content, or is the content in control of us? Ouch. In one respect, our attention span seems short. We are not patient enough to watch anything with commercials. Anybody with me? I don't want to see another commercial as long as I live. I'm like waiting for that 5 seconds for the skip button. I'm like, skip, 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 skip. You know what I'm talking about. We don't watch anything with commercials, much less wait from week to week for episodes to come out. Remember back in the day, and there was an episode, and it was like, "Oh, I got to wait till next Tuesday. What am I going to do?" And even then, you know, when there was commercials on, you went up back in the day and you turned that dial, pop, 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 until you got to the other channel. If you're back before the days of cable, which many of you are not old enough for. I lived in small town Newfoundland, and for years we only had two channels and a floor model TV. If we can't stream it commercial free, we won't likely watch it. The show loses its appeal if we have to wait for it. Yet if we have a show to stream, listen to the dichotomy here. If we have a show to stream, we can sit down and binge the whole season in a day. We don't have the patience to wait for an episode from week to week, but we can binge a whole season in a day. And I have even known people who tackle full series nonstop. Like, and I don't know how you, I mean, if you watch a sitcom, there's 24 episodes a season, 22 minutes an episode without commercials. 8 seasons, 9 seasons. I mean, it's crazy. And 1 minute we're saying, I can't watch. I'm not going to waste time watching commercials. But we can sit down for multiple 12, 13 hours and watch a full series. And trust me, when I'm saying this, I'm pointing fingers at myself like I am everybody else. We're all guilty of this at times. We all need those shutdown days. How can we be so impatient in waiting for something for 1 week, yet sit patiently through hours of binge watching? Our attention span, we have the attention span when the pieces fit. We are guilty as Christians on times of saying we want something, but then where we place our focus does not back up the claim. We know the truth, but struggle with the way. And so we do not experience the fullness of the life we can have in Him. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the life is not experienced without the truth and the way. What we focus on matters. It takes discipline to calibrate our focus on the right things, the things that bear fruit. Remember, our reality is my third one. We need to remember where we are in a situation. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 21 speaks some really poignant words to you. And if you haven't accepted Him this morning, I want you to listen to these words and let them speak to your heart. Verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 5 says this. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. This is your lot. If you've accepted Christ, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And this is what I want you to hear this morning. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are now in the light. You have access to the benefits of the kingdom of light. Understand who you are. Understand your reality. Understand the power that is available to us. Listen, I am not saying that you have to get rid of your social media, go home, delete Netflix and Amazon Prime. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying to go delete all the distracting apps and stuff. We have news networks that do not present unbiased news. They present narratives that are predominantly negative. They should just call it bad news. We have social media platforms that are run by algorithms that are designed to show you what our unconscious drives, what our flesh wants to see, our base desires. The social media, the platforms, algorithms are made to highlight your base desires. What I am saying is that there is a war for our attention. It's focused on maintaining our attention. You know, these apps, everything is focused on maintaining our attention, largely for capitalistic reasons, showing you what you want to see over and over and over and over again. God help me forever looking up little winter boots for my dog on Amazon. Because now every advertisement that I ever see on my phone is for winter boots for little dogs. They're cute. But it's tiresome. Adam Brown, the co-director of the Center for Attention, Learning, and Memory at St. Bonaventure University in New York, was quoted in an article in Time magazine saying this, and listen to these words. It says human brains want novelty, excitement, and social connection, and devices play into those desires. Checking a notification flashing across your screen can provide a small hit of dopamine, creating a sense of reward that keeps you coming back for more. Don't we know that's true? When you give it into the temptation by pausing a task to check your phone, your brain also has to shift gears to stop what it was previously doing and move to a new task. By the way, multitasking is a myth. I like to say that my wife's a good multitasker. That just means that she can switch her focus quicker than I can. He says, when you give into the temptation by pausing the task to check your phone, your brain also has to shift gears to stop what it was previously doing to move to the new task. This process negatively affects the overall speed and quality of your work in the short term. Research suggests that in the long term, the more you engage in task switching, the more your brain wants to wander and look for the new thing. There's a war for your attention. The enemy wants to look at your unconscious drives, and he wants to look at your flesh, and he wants to put it all in front of your face. And no more time in the year is it more prevalent than right now in this season. Have you ever been there when 15 minutes have turned into 2 or 3 hours? Movies with shots of 5 seconds or less to keep your attention are not working, so that you start scrolling at the same time, and then you're like, oh, can you rewind that? I've been there. I've done that. I was at Starbucks line a short time ago, and was looking around, and in a particularly busy time, there was about 20-plus people in the line or waiting for their order, and every one of them were staring at their phones, almost unaware of who was even standing next to them. I even tried I said hello to somebody and just made a comment about something. They didn't even hear me. I wonder how many guys could have started a conversation with their future wife at Starbucks, but they wouldn't look past the screens to even notice her. The Christmas season is a time where the demand for our attention goes up exponentially, which means, unfortunately, that our patience goes down at almost the same rate. Black Friday wasn't enough, so now we have Cyber Monday. Christmas giving and receiving is not enough, so we have Boxing Day. It says, hey, there are still things that you need. There's still things you want. Don't forget. You might have got everything you needed yesterday or everything you wanted yesterday, but I can get it to you for 50% off today. And now we do it all from the comfort of our homes. I am not saying that we are evil if we partake in these things. Trust me. I'm talking a lot I feel these struggles just like we all do. I feel these struggles. I get caught in these cycles sometimes myself, and I'm learning as I live and walk like Jesus walked. As I learn more about the truth, and I learn more about the way that he walked, and I look closer at how he walked, I'm allowing him to change how I perceive things and allow him to help me to focus on the things that I need to focus on. I'm not saying that, like I said, we're evil if we partake in these things. It's just not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is to be aware of what demands our attention. Be aware of where you place your attention. Jesus demands our attention, and he tells us the way we do that is to take care of the least of these. The king will reply, it says in Matthew 25:40, it says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I want to tell you that the Son of God demands your attention today. We sometimes say we don't have time to do this, and if we were honest and did an inventory of the time we spend on the things we do, we got lots of time to do the things that should be most important to us. Our families deserve our attention. I have been convicted at times because, you know, I've wasted so much time when I should have done something with my kids or should have done something here. I should have paid attention here. And so we're very deliberate on Christmas Day and Christmas morning and Christmas season to try and focus and to slow things down and to make sure that they understand what's going on. Our friends deserve our attention. Our church family deserve our attention. The person sitting across from you at the table deserves your attention. What is occupying our attention spans, however short it may be? What is occupying them? What's taking up all of our time? He is the truth, but the truth plus the way, His way, amounts to the fullness of life He intended for each of us. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. But you cannot experience the fullness of that life in the kingdom of God unless you understand both the truth and both the way. And the way is going to demand your attention. The way says slow things down. I joked, not really, in staff meeting this week with my staff, and I said to them, they said, what can I pray for you for? And we have a time of prayer at staff meeting every week where we don't pray for anything to do with the church, just personal needs. And I said, I feel like I need to slow down so I can speed up, but I know that's not the right way to say it. I feel like sometimes I go at a pace that is not productive. And so I've changed some things in my life to slow myself down so that I could be more productive and that the time that I use is more valuable. I want you to remember this morning that what we pay attention to may very well be what we become. When someone looks at us, is our attention span less than 5 seconds, like the switching of the screens in a movie? Are we going to lose in a staring contest with a goldfish? God says that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And I want to invite you as we, you know, work our way through Advent and we prepare our hearts, you know, to remember, and I hope you remember it every day, that Jesus Christ came to this earth, to stop, give this the time it deserves. Show your children that you value the time you spend looking into what Jesus did for us. Take the time. They might even complain with you, but that's okay. They're learning how to have a longer attention span. We can learn, can we not? Take the time. Slow things down. Slow things down so God can give you a productivity that you maybe never understood before. Father, I thank You, Lord. Lord, even as I preach, Lord, every sermon I preach, Lord, there's a level of conviction that I feel, oh God. Sometimes the things I preach are the very things I probably am struggling with. And I know that all of us struggle with these things. But Lord, I do. I feel this. I feel it deep in my soul. I feel the demands for my attention. But Lord, I pray that I will quiet myself and that we would quiet ourselves enough, oh God, that we would silence the noise around us so that when You speak, we would feel it, we would hear it, we would understand it. That we would invite You into our moments. That we would learn, Lord, maybe it's difficult to sit down for 5 minutes and just be quiet and wait. So Lord, teach us to sit for 2 minutes. And then maybe the next time, Lord, we can sit for 5 minutes. Teach us how to be bored again. Teach us, Lord, to sit and to listen. Sometimes we give ourselves an amount of time that we can go study. Sometimes we even set aside time that we can volunteer and do these things. But sometimes, Lord, we don't set aside the time to sit and to listen and to wait in Your presence. And then consider what it really means that the Son of God came to this earth so that He could die on the cross for our sins. And the fact was that it was all about drawing our attention back to Him. It was all about bringing us back into relationship with Him. So Father, we love You today. We honor You today. We glorify You today. Lord, the gospel is not a list of things we have to do. The gospel is good news. It tells us what You have already done. So help us to pay attention to what you have already done in our life, oh God. Slow ourselves down this Christmas season. We love you. We honor you. We glorify you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's just take some time before we leave this morning to worship him together. As usual, these altars are always open. If you want prayer, want to take some time, spend, by all means come. But let's just take some time to worship before we leave this morning.